Okay, have you got a wine, Emma?
No, I don't, actually. And I feel like that's a mistake. Can I just grab one real quick? Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Electric Rodeo. I am still Emily Rice.
And I'm still Emma Hewitt.
And we are your friends here to talk to you about sex.
Yay! Finally, it's been a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, we've been having some techie issues.
We are not tech people. Oh, we are good at sex toys. We are not good at speakers. And connecting speakers and microphones to our laptops.
Software. It's all a bit much.
Yeah. So today is our third attempt to record a podcast about a topic, thankfully, we're very passionate about, so we can get it right into it. We're going to talk about sexual fantasies.
Fantasies.
So, it is a big taboo, really, isn't it? Women talking about sexual fantasies. There's a lot of policing around sexual fantasies.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that today, aren't we?
We are. Especially women's fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel like men are allowed to have fantasies and cis men and like kind of wild fantasies and it's just like, oh yeah, that's acceptable. But women are not allowed to watch softcore porn. I was about to say soft corn. softcore porn.
100% called soft corn now.
Soft corn on Netflix. Which is bullshit. Because so what we thought we would talk about today was, this was quite relevant like a fortnight ago, but it might be old news now.
It's still relevant.
365 D&I. Who has heard of it? Surely you have. It's been on the number one list on Netflix for quite some time now.
I feel like it probably still is. It's still at the top of the charts.
Yeah. So, 365 D&I is like a Polish film where for some reason they speak English, even though one is Polish and the other is a Sicilian mobster. But the Sicilian mobster, his name is Massimo, which is a very, very good, sexy name for a Sicilian mobster. Now he sees a woman and falls in love with her just by looking at her.
Classic.
And, and so he does what you do in these kind of movies. He kidnaps her. Because that's what you do. I know, that's what I do. But we have to be very careful. We're not allowed to joke about this. But you kind of, I mean, this is what we are kind of talking about. It's this very, like, are you allowed to talk about this? But power and control fantasies are very popular and with good reason.
And just remember, everyone, this is a fantasy. This is erotic fiction. It's not real. We're not suggesting that you do this in real life. In fact, fucking don't. Like, don't ever do that.
Don't ever do that.
But you are allowed to sit back, watch it on Netflix, and have a nice time. And that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, the classic storyline, and it's not giving anything away, of 365 D&I is that she has 365 days to fall in love with an incredibly hot, rich Italian man who is very hot.
Yes.
Did I mention that he's very hot?
I think you could almost mention it again.
Yeah, he's very hot. He's got a castle. And he's rich.
He's got a boat too.
And they make use of that boat. So, because it's not a spoiler alert to say that it doesn't take her 365 days to fall in love with him. And so this is some women's fantasies. And I have to say, I totally get it. Because I think 2020 women have so much on them around expectations, pressure. You know, we have to you know, we've got really busy lives, busy jobs. We are caring sometimes for our children as well as our parents. You know, it is really this really difficult time for women. And I think that historically it's always been difficult for women. But, but I mean, it feels like there's a lot on women's plates right now. So why would you not find the fantasy of having somebody scooping you up, making all your decisions for you and fucking railing you on a yacht?
I mean,
how would you not find that
hot?
Hot.
It is. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and it's not the act of, like, people will look and go, oh, this is a rape fantasy or a sexual violence fantasy or a kidnap fantasy. It's not about that. It's about power and control and for a moment not feeling responsible for everything. Powerlessness is a figurative thing of, like, a weight being lifted off you. So that not every decision is yours. Somebody else is making the decisions. And that's hot when your life is, you know, to not know the plan is hot when your life is planned.
Oh, like, exactly. It's just, and it's classic, like, escapism in its most, like, literal format. Like, someone literally taking you and making you escape from your own life and, like, be on a yacht, have the best time, you know? Like, I can't think of anything better than that right now. Sorry, Jay, but if Massimo wants to take me, I'm gone.
It would not take 365 days. It would take, like, 3.5 minutes. Even if he did that terrible, oh, you're lost, baby girl.
Yeah, we'll just maybe mute.
I would be like, don't call me baby girl. That's not, but everything else.
We'll lay out some ground rules. Baby girl is one.
And everything else, just go for
gold. That's it. That's my ground rule.
But, I mean, you know, we just don't give women respect in the fact that we're fucking adults and we can decide what we find sexually pleasing or what our desires are without it being, like, people do not analyze men's desires. They do not sit there and go, how come fucking bukkake is the number one thing for men? Don't Google that if you don't know what it is.
Oh, do, but do it from the privacy of your own home.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the thing is, so if bukkake is actually a really good example.
I was just thinking, like, fuck, that's good.
Because bukkake is the act of a group of men, I don't know how to put this nicely, but jizzing on a woman's face. And the thing is, a lot of people will put the focus on the woman, like, how could she, you know, do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, for a start, it's probably work. Sex work is work, and, you know, some of us have to do, you know, like, that's part of the job, and some women, I'm sure, enjoy it. You know, no shame, you do your thing. But we put all of the analysis on a woman and not, why does a man want to jack off onto a woman's face? What power control thing is going on there? Yet we get, like, destroyed, like, the level of analysis of this fucking movie that is just soft corn.
That's all it is. It's soft corn.
All it is just soft corn. Yeah. There are, like, screeds of, oh, this is offensive, this is wrong, this is blah, blah. It is soft corn. It is just a little escape.
It is not a relationship manual for how to live your life.
And it is not, no, none of us want to be kidnapped. We want the idea of escape, of giving up control in a controlled environment. Because just like 50 Shades of Grey, this is what these fantasies are about. They're controlled. They are safe environments. You know, you don't just rock up and, like, pull out a whip and, like, tie somebody up. There are negotiations involved. You know, and so I'm really tired of women not being given respect and autonomy around their fantasies. Yeah. If I read some vampire porn, it doesn't mean I want to fuck a vampire. Like, if I read werewolf porn, I don't want to fuck a werewolf. Yeah. Like, I don't believe in vampires or werewolves, you know. But for some reason with women, we infantilize the shit out of women and we act like they don't have any ability to choose what their sexual needs and desires are in a safe way.
It's really bizarre, right? It's even like a lot of it, I guess, is kind of deemed like lowbrow too if you're someone that enjoys things like Twilight or True Blood. You know, we've talked about how much we love True Blood before because it's like sexy, terrible storyline, terrible acting in some parts, but like it's just like hot escapism.
And
people get
really
teased
hot.
About enjoying that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. And like men will watch like absolute garbage, like Mission Impossible and like 800 Born Supremacy Identity, whatever they are. But God forbid we watch some Eric Northman. But I mean, you know, I think that the interesting thing about things like True Blood is I saw this review of like this real shady review, and it always disappoints me when women do this to other women, but internalized misogyny is a thing. But, you know, basically saying 365 is for women who are too scared to go on Pornhub. And it's like, have you been on Pornhub? It's like disgusting. It is so gross. And none of it is for women.
No.
Like even the sections that are like for women are not for women. Like, forgive me if I don't want to see a woman actually being pounded who is clearly uncomfortable in an environment that I don't know is safe, in an environment that I don't know if she's paid. You know, there is ethical porn and then there is everything else, and I'm not touching that other stuff. And also, none of the men on Pornhub look like Massimo, thank you very much. None of them look like Eric Northman.
Oh,
like
Eric.
Some sweaty ass hairy backed dude, that is not a turn on.
No,
for me.
No, agreed.
You know, I watch Erica Lust porn. I watch porn that I pay for because I don't believe in watching porn unless you pay for it. But, you know, sometimes I don't want to see bodily fluids and stuff like that. I just want to see like a hint of it. Show me the grubby, but not too grubby. But also, here we are sitting here fucking defending our choices
yeah.
again. Just let women masturbate in peace.
Exactly. And I mean,
honestly, give a bitch a break.
Yeah. And Netflix is just so easy. We've all got Netflix. I'm happy for that shit to be on there. Like, give us, I think even 50 Shades is on there now, you know.
And do you know what? I love 50 Shades, unashamedly. I know that it's problematic. I know that's
yeah.
not a good way to enter the BDSM community.
No.
But at the same time, I also, this goes again with women are smart enough. Give us some fucking credit,
yeah.
you know. As long as we balance that stuff out with actual information about how to safely do BDSM, which we're going to do, aren't we, Emma?
Yes, we're gearing up.
But, yeah, we're gearing up. But, I mean, you know, give some credit, you know. And I, like, the thing with 50 Shades of Grey is they're both super hot. It's framed and shot really beautifully. The soundtrack is banging.
Yes, it is, actually. Oh, Beyonce on that. So
yeah,
good.
So good. So, you know, just let, yeah, I can, I just find this whole thing of like people being shocked by 50 Shades or 365 Gino. I'm like, get the fuck over it and start making more.
Yeah. And we want them on Netflix, thank you, because we're already fucking paying for it. And I want to see some hot shit.
These are books written by women. Like,
exactly.
Trust me, I am a writer and it hurts my soul that 50 Shades was so popular because it's so badly written. So badly written. But at the same time, it's written by a woman for women, and the movie, the same with 365 D&I, is written by a woman, produced and made by a woman. Like, yeah, I think that there is definitely problematic stuff. And, like, there are parts that are laughable and how they're not hot to me, like the whole
yeah.
strapping her to the bed and then making her watch someone get a blowjob, like, watch him get a blowjob. Like, I'd be like, sweet,
yeah,
one less blowjob I have to give.
I might
you know,
have
like,
a snooze.
Yeah, like, that's not. But at the same time, I'm not, like, broken by that. Like, there are, like, I just find it a bit exhausting how quick we are to watch. Peachy!
She's ripped up a whole roll of toilet paper behind me without me noticing.
We've just had a peaches break because Emma's dog Peaches is she wants getting to into be. Everything.
She wants to be part of the podcast.
Has she eaten any more of your sex toys lately?
Oh, no, she has not. Just my favourite dame that I've talked about so many times on this podcast.
That she, is heartbreaking.
I know. I thought it, she ripped the button off, so, you know, can't turn it on or off. And, shredded a few bits of the silicone. It's not the first time. She ate my Wii Vibe. She ate she ate my sister's Ovo Rabbit.
Oh, no.
I know. And you know what? You think we would learn and start putting things away in our drawers, but clearly not.
Okay. So I have no idea where we were.
No, sorry.
But that's okay. We can pick things up. So basically, yes, there are problematic things in this, but there are problematic things in heaps of films and media that we like. But it only seems to be with women that we do this policing around it. That's like, you are too stupid to know that this isn't good. Like, we know that it's crap. We know that, like, you know, are you lost baby girl is fucking ridiculous dialogue. But the thing is, we also know that you shouldn't eat, like, a whole block of chocolate because you might get a sore tummy. But we are fucking adults and we can do that exactly. If we want to.
We get to make the decisions ourselves.
We get to make the decisions. So I am done with shaming.
Mm-hmm.
I have personally wanked off a lot to 365 D&I and I am unashamed about it.
Yes, good.
I have found it really great. Like that yacht scene, I just know exactly what point of the film that makes it on. And, like, I'm not going to be shamed for it or be like, or have people who clearly have never been on Pornhub be like, oh, go look up. Yeah, I want to see some, like, gross dude.
No, thank you.
Who's never, ever known where the clit is his whole life. You know.
And is on camera not being able to find it.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And also, I know that these actors and actresses are being paid a shit ton. Like, don't exactly. come up with yes, not talking good. About how problematic porn is and then shame us for watching softcore porn. So either way, you get shamed for everything. So shamed for watching a bit of soft porn written for women by women, centering the woman's gaze kind of thing. But yeah, then you exactly. get shamed for watching anything well. Else. So, like, fuck up. Just let it be. I just honestly am so tired of it. Like, and I've had so many women come to me and be like, what do you think about 365 D&I? And I'm like, just you do you. If you watch it and it grosses you out and you don't like it, don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Like, yeah, but you're the one turning it on and off. You do not have to sit there and watch the whole thing if you're not enjoying it or if you think it's a bad representation of, like, a relationship. Don't watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and don't take your cues for how your relationship... I mean, I think this is something we do need to talk about in movies that are aimed at young women. Like, Twilight, I have an issue with. Like, I am concerned that the messages that might give young women about what a healthy and unhealthy relationship is. But something like 50 Shades, 365, that is not designed for teenagers. Like,
no, it's
we
not.
We are adult women, and you don't get to use the victimization or sexualization of young women to hurt women who are older. Like, fuck that. You know, like, these are R18 movies. And give women, like, also, young women want to see films where women's pleasure is actually important, you know.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, like, that there are many movies like that out there.
No,
and
that's
I have issues with some movies that, like, as I said, Twilight, that I think might give the wrong idea. But at the same time, that's not that much different to the films that we watched growing up, like all the high school rom-coms that were like, you know, take off her glasses and pull out her ponytail and then she'll be beautiful, you know, like, and the popular boy will date her. I mean,
everything what we is watch, that film?
Oh, is it She's All That? Or
yes, I think it is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, they're actually, and this is complete tangent, but there is a ripoff of those movies called Not Another Teen Movie. And honestly, Chris Evans is in it and he is so hilarious. And he, that's such I a love, funny film. If you know me, you know I love Chris Evans. But he wears like the, you know, Varsity Blues? Do you remember yes. Varsity Blues? Yes. Oh my God, I thought that movie was so hot. Maybe I should revisit it. But she comes yeah. out wearing the whipped cream for Paul that's Walker. Right. Is it Paul Walker who's in that movie?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
Well, anyway, but when they do the parody, Chris Evans comes out in whipped cream. It's very funny. You should definitely, like, it probably hasn't aged well. But anyway, but point being, every, like, we're not talking, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where I'm going with it. Maybe not. Maybe but, we should check this.
But, you know, point being that it is hard to find media that isn't problematic in some way. And there are firm lines that you should draw around racism and around, you know, outright misogyny. And maybe for some people, they see 365 Gina and they think it is just misogyny. And, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't know. I just don't see it, I guess. I just think I see that women's fantasies are policed, and particularly yeah. those ones that are viewed as submissive. And I wonder if part of that is just internalized misogyny around I have felt submissive in my life, so I inherently have an issue with women wanting to be submissive, maybe, you know. Or,
right.
Like, I don't know, but I just personally, as a 35-year-old woman with two children who has a very full and busy life, I can understand the figurative desire of, like, somebody taking all of this away for momentarily to just bang me. You know, that makes perfect yeah. sense to me. And I think when people were getting really hot-headed about 50 Shades, I was just kind of like, really? Nobody wants all their meals cooked and made for them? And no, like, everyone was like, he's so controlling and all that. And I'm like, well, yeah, because it's a movie. But at the same time, I would quite like that, to have a car mm-hmm. drive me everywhere. Like, you can watch me.
Like, fuck yeah.
That will you make me dinner? And will you put yeah. me to bed?
Yeah.
And leave it.
And think about my pleasure at all times.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, I just want everything done for me. And I want, when I get wasted, like, you know, holding a woman's hair carry back, changing her into her pajamas and putting a Panadol by her bed. If that's wrong.
Oh, lovely.
That is Bogan courtship. That is yeah, straight up exactly. Bogan courtship. I've been with my husband for like a million years and that is like Bogan courtship right there. But
yes, it is. I'm from the heart. Yeah, so this I'm is all what about we that do, kind of carry on.
But I guess what does need to be discussed is if you want to be recreating this stuff at home, and, you know, putting your sexual fantasies into play, which I do want to note, just because you have a fantasy, very rarely, you know, does it necessarily mean it's going to go into play. You know, like for a lot of people, they're, you know, maybe you've got a vanilla partner or you just don't have time or it's just something you know could never live up to what you're thinking in your head.
Exactly,
or,
yeah.
But, 365 D&I did make me think, oh, maybe I'd give a little bit of light bondage a go, you know? So, maybe we should talk about that. Yeah. Ms. Bondage Queen. Tell us, because you like a bit of bondage, don't you?
I do like a bit of bondage. That's why I'm quite into these kind of films with the submissive, like, roles, because I'm into a bit of a little sub role myself. But with this kind of shit in real life, you know, there are some rules and some things that you should do rather than kidnap a person. I think the number one thing is have a little chat.
Yeah, yeah.
About your fantasies. Whether it is a fantasy that you just want to kind of put the feelers out with a partner, or you're really keen to try something in the bedroom, the best way to actually, like, start any of that stuff is to talk about it. So me and Em have talked about this before, but a really good way to bring up these kind of conversations is to do it in a situation that is like non-sexual. So whether it's you're both like dressed and you're just kind of having a regular chat in the day or whatever, and that's a good time to bring it up because it removes some of the pressure of like if you're getting down and dirty and someone's like, oh, I want to, can I tie you up? You know, you might feel, whether it is intended or not, you might feel a little bit of like pressure there to say yes because you're in a sexual setting already. So doing it without, you know, without that kind of sexual nature in the conversation already, I think is a really good way to bring it up. Yeah,
you definitely don't want anybody to feel pressure. That's why
you never pull
out a toy while having sex. You know, you never just start anything up without having discussed it first. So there are lots of ways that you can bring up this conversation, basically. You could watch something like 365 D&I, or you could watch Secretary or 50 Shades, or there's so many films out there, and maybe, you know, you have a laugh through it or whatever, but you can clearly see whether somebody's like, oh my gosh, this is so messed up, or whether you can kind of be like, oh, that looks kind of fun, doesn't it? You know, like,
yes, get a read on them. There's so many like non-verbal cues to look out for
exactly. And I mean, if they have a real visceral response, and some people really do, like, I definitely don't want to do that, the most important thing is that you respect that and do not push it. Like, yeah, this is just going to be a fantasy that stays in your head, and it's not a fantasy that's going to play out, and that's fine. You know, that's what vibes are for, and that's what clit toys are
for. And that's what these films are for, you know.
If you are, say you've had your chat and you've both gone, okay, maybe let's give it a try, let's do some light BDSM, what are some things that people can do, Emma, to start with? Like a complete beginner, watch 365 D&I or Secretary or whatever and go on, I'm keen, let's go for it. What do you think they should do?
Well, there are some really nice, non-intimidating places to start when it comes with any kind of like bondage or power play. And a lot of that is all sensory based. So by just taking away someone's sense, so like with a little blindfold or something like that, just removing their vision, that can actually have a really big impact on your play because it makes all your other senses really excited and really hyper aware. So your sense of sound becomes more intense, but also every touch becomes a lot more intense and powerful because you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know what it's going to be from. So someone might have, you might be using a vibrator, or it might just be fingers, or a little kind of light impact toy or feather tickler. And just removing that sense just makes everything feel way more intense. And you can use that kind of thing in all sorts of play as well. So whether it's just during foreplay or whether it's during like a whole sexual session, and that's really fun. The other one, of course, is just little restraints. So it works in the same way. You're just taking away someone's ability to touch, and in doing so, you're making, like, you're forcing them into like a submissive role because you're in charge of your hands or your limbs are free in any sense. But I would just say, if you're going to do that, look out for something that is like a nice soft material cuff to start out with. I think a lot of people get really excited and want to be like, oh, let's get some rope, you know, but when it comes to things like rope tying, you do actually need to be very aware of what you're doing, what kind of knots you're using, the texture or the tooth of the rope, because that's how tight or loose something is going to be. So just avoid that if you are brand new. And using something like a nice material cuff actually just makes you feel, I think, a little bit safer as the person that's wearing them. You know, there's still some movement and something like that. It's not going to dig into your skin. It's not going to hurt you if you do tug on it, because those kind of feelings for someone that is new to this play can really kind of throw you off. It can actually feel a little bit more intense. It might give you a little bit of anxiety, or you might feel just a little bit kind of out of touch with your body if you're feeling something like pain or too much restriction. But those kind of comfortable soft cuffs, they don't really have, you know, they don't feel super intense on your wrists or on your ankles.
You need to feel safe, right? You need to feel like this is an environment where there is an illusion that you're not in control, but you are still actually in control. That's why it's also important to do it with somebody who is a safe partner, so not a one-night stand, unless it was a specific BDSM community where there is a really strong understanding of safety, verbal cues, non-verbal cues. So
yeah, exactly. And everything should be agreed on beforehand, even in those situations, you know. You always just want to be really having open communication in any of these situations, even if you've known the person for years, you know, like whether that's the use of a safe word or like the traffic light system, like you've talked about, Emily, like the, God, now I've forgotten, green, yeah, orange and red.
But yeah. I mean, another thing is just enthusiastic consent is really hot. Like the only people who like moan about, you know, consent and do like, oh, you have to get a like thing signed, blah, blah, blah. These are people who are terrible in bed, because when you are in bed, you know that you, if you pay attention to the verbal cues of the person you're with, then you know whether they're enjoying it or not. You can tell if somebody's body tenses away when you touch them or when you do something. You can feel that, and you automatically, if you're good in bed, which, you know, maybe people aren't, but you automatically know if you touch, you know, as you brush a clitoris or something, you can expect like a shuddering movement or something like that. But if it's a jerk away, you know, maybe that you're pressing too hard, there's not enough lube, all those things. Yes. But this is part of enthusiastic consent. And also, non-verbal cues are there, but verbal cues are super hot. Like, I'm going to do this to you. Do you want that? Like, I'm going to put my fingers inside you. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to bite your nipple. Do you want that? You know, do you like that? Does that feel good? Tell me you want it. Tell me you want it is a really good one, because it's like, if it you don't want it, I'm like, nah. So, nah, I'm good.
But then that's good, because then you just move on to something else.
But like really saying, tell me, and then sitting there saying, this is what I want to do to you. I want to tie you up and I want to go down on you or whatever, and I'm going to focus on your clitoris, or I'm going to focus on your balls or whatever.
This is dirty talk.
I mean, you
and
do it not
so
in
good.
The monotone that I just did. Oh, I'm going to focus on your balls.
I'm going to lick your nipples.
Lick your balls, and you know. But, but, you know, you can tell by the person that, you know, and... Mm. And I think that as well, like, I've been married a long time and there's still things that I'm finding out about what my partner likes and doesn't like. And so don't think just because you've been together a long time that you necessarily know everything about what your partner likes. Like, it's also, I guess, about respect. Like, I wouldn't just, like, put my finger up my partner's ass or something without checking first, you know, like, it's just not something you do. And I think we, you know, this is where sexual, more conversations about sexual fantasies and sex education and sexual pleasure are so important, because when people are saying don't watch 365D and I watch porn, well, that's where we have young men on one night stands thinking choking is a normal part of sex, when it's actually a full-on BDSM play activity.
Yes, exactly.
That is fully negotiated in advance. So
it has to be agreed on.
Yeah. So is, you know, penetration of any kind, whether that's vaginally, anally, orally, you know, all those things. But we're seeing more and more people not even understanding that. And that's what enthusiastic consent is about. It's switching the script so that you're saying, actually, to be good in bed is to be communicating with your mouth and not just...
And your face.
And your face and your body. But, you know, like, I just think it's like people who do the whole, oh, you know, you have to get it signed and do all this stuff. I'm like, you are telling on yourself.
Exactly. You are saying that you cannot read the cues in the bedroom and you probably don't know where the clit is.
Yeah, exactly. Because talking about what you're going to do, what you want to do, it's hot.
It's hot and it shows confidence as well, which I think is great too. Like, if you can communicate with someone before you're in, like getting down and dirty with it, you know, like that's a real confidence thing to be like, I'm going to do this to you. I want to do this to you. Like, that just means that they give a fuck about your pleasure and want to make sure that you're having a good time. And that is hot. That does not ruin the moment. That is not non-spontaneous. It's hot.
And tell me exactly what you want me to do to you. I think the key is it's so simple, like people overcomplicate it. All it is saying, tell me what you want me to do to you because I'm going to do it to you. That's hot. Like, you know, just, so yeah, stop like telling on yourself by saying that consent, like enthusiastic consent isn't hot. But at the same time, like there is a vulnerability and intimacy about talking about your fantasies, and then whether they play out or not, it is a really beautiful thing to be able to have a partner, whether they're a short-term partner, a play partner, a long-term partner, but being able to be vulnerable with them increases that intimacy so much and it leads to better sex, you know. And I would definitely say
100%.
Go on the Adult Toy Megastore website. Go on there and sit with your partner and go through the bondage section. Like, pick your favorite colors for blindfolds and restraints. Like, get a beginner pack or something. You know, look through and go, oh, have you ever thought of doing that? And you'll know if they go, oh, I don't know about that. Then, you know, there's only like 3,000 other things you could buy, you know. So, so, you know, have a drink of wine or tea or whatever you do to relax and sit down together and look at the website. That in itself is real foreplay. Like, and if you're trying new things, go, okay, this week we're going to buy a blindfold. And then when it, you know, arrives, that's your fun time to play. Or, okay, now we're going to go with a tickler, you know, or restraints or, you know. So it's easy to do and it's fun. And, you know, often the fantasy, the reality is better than the fantasy. Sometimes it's not. But either way, you aren't going to lose that intimacy and vulnerability that you built and that confidence to say what you want. And that is important. So hopefully the sound quality hasn't been too bad today. We are still working on it. It's, you know, we are just two gals trying to make it work. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And yeah, we look forward to hearing from you. Always feel free to flick us a message. We now have a Facebook page and we now have an Instagram, which we're going to update, which we haven't done yet. But yeah, we want to hear from you.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week, lovers. Talk soon. Bye.